1 Samuel 18, first of all, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And we'll just stop there for now. The story of Jonathan David covers several chapters, and it would, if you've not read this story that God's recorded for us here, it would be a great thing to do. It's really an interesting story about Jonathan and David and some of the other things that go on in their lives. We won't be able to cover it all, obviously, but I do want us to glean some things from the life of Jonathan. Now, for those of you that may not know who Jonathan is, well, during the early days of Israel, you know, the land of Israel, or the nation of Israel, was ruled, their government, I guess you would say, was a theocracy. If you think about the first word of theocracy, the word theos is there, and theos is the Greek word for God. And so it was God's desire that he rule his people, and through prophets, judges, etc., priests. But the time came when the nation of Israel looked around them, looked around at other countries. All the other countries had kings. And so they clamored to God and said, well, we want a king too. And God gave them exactly what they asked for. And so who was the first king of Israel? Saul, King Saul. We saw his name there as we read this morning. So the man Saul was the first king of Israel. The Bible describes him as a man who stood head and shoulders above all others, above the rest. And so he was the first king of Israel. Now, Jonathan was his eldest son. So that kind of paints the picture for you there. If you're not familiar with who Jonathan is, he's the eldest son of King Saul. But more importantly, I want us to see today that Jonathan was David's best friend. And that's what our lesson is today. Jonathan was not only Saul's eldest son, but he was David's best friend during the years before David was king. Now, if you know your Bible stories, you know that after Saul, he started out a pretty good king, but in the latter years, he kind of went haywire, and God removed the blessing from him, and he was already eyeing David to be the next king of Israel. And even that little bit of the story there plays an interesting part in our lesson today, and we'll get to that here in a few moments. But during those years when David was just serving King Saul, he was in his courts playing harp, and he was a great warrior, of course, for King Saul. During those years, David and Jonathan developed a close friendship. And as we read there, their hearts were knit together. And it says Jonathan loved David as more than his own soul, or as his own soul. So it's quite a unique friendship. In our lesson today, we're going to learn how Jonathan strengthened David when he was weak, how he gave to David when he was in need, and how he warned David when he was in danger. I was, again, thinking of the lesson this morning, and this occurred to me. I'd never thought of this before, and now it's going to make me go back and study, which is always a good thing. But I got to thinking, as you look at this story, it seems like a lopsided friendship. We'll see that as we get into it. It looks like it's a little bit lopsided. It's like a one-sided friendship. But this first sentence on our sheet kind of gives us a hint of why that would be. Because we're going to see that Jonathan strengthened David in a time when David needed strength. You know, sometimes we're in a place where we're very vulnerable, we're very weak, and we have a friend that strengthens us, but because of our condition of weakness and vulnerability, we're not really able to reciprocate the friendship as it's coming to us. They're strengthening us, helping us, meeting needs that we have at that point in time, but because of the weakness and vulnerability of us, we're not able to maybe reciprocate like we would think we should. And so as we go through the life of David and Jonathan, that may occur to you that, hey, well, it seems kind of lopsided, but I think that's the reason why, because this was a time when David needed strength. and when he was in great need. And so those are some things we want to see today. Jonathan did these things. He strengthened, he gave, he warned. He did these things selflessly. And so his example has come down to us centuries later now as the epitome of true friendship. And, got something on the screen there we don't need. And this relationship is the epitome, or could be the epitome, of a true friendship. You know what? A friend is a real gift from God. Amen? Now, we all have friends, and then we have friends, if you know what I mean. We all have maybe those that we would refer to as friends, but a lot of us have one, two, three, maybe four, whatever, just a handful of really close friends. And this is the friendship that David and Jonathan had. I wish I would have separated this into two slides because I really want to point out the emphasis on the second sentence here. Yes, a friend is a precious gift from God, but as blessed as it is to have a friend, it's a greater blessing to be a friend. And that's really what I want us to see today, to be a friend. Not to have a friend, but to be a friend. The person who is a friend will never have a lack of friends. If you'll just be a friend, you'll always have friends. It always puzzles me when folks hang their head and their lips dragging the ground and they're moping around and say, well, nobody likes me, I don't have any friends. Well, why don't you have any friends? Are you being a friend to anybody? If you'll just go be a friend, you'll have a friend. Amen? That's all it takes. Now, here's that point in time I want you to see, Proverbs 18. So turn over there quickly. Normally, I would have put this on the wall, but this is where I goofed this time. So, Proverbs 18:24, we'll look at the first half, part A. Let's read it together. Ready? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. In other words, if you're going to have friends, you're going to have to be friendly. You're going to need to show yourself friendly in order to have friends. But I want you to look at the rest of the verse. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In other words, there is a friend out there that sticks closer than a brother. Now, friends, I believe that friend that he's speaking of there is Jesus. Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And all God's people said, amen. The songwriter said it so well. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one's ever cared for me like Jesus. I've got some good friends, but no one's ever cared for me like Jesus. He's the ultimate friend, and he'll stick close. He'll stick closer than a brother. This world is a lonely place. We can feel very alone at times, but when you feel alone, always know that you have a friend in Jesus, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, right? What a friend. And he's our special, special friend. So, as we look at the life of Jonathan this morning, we're going to look at the topic of friendship, and in doing so, we want to reveal some attributes from Jonathan's life that should be a part of every good friendship. And so with that, we'll start right into the outline. We're going to see here that Jonathan and David's friendship was a strengthening friendship. You may have gathered what the outline is going to be from the first point on your sheet there, but it was a strengthening friendship. Excuse me. You know, in our world today, when folks consider friendships or approach the topic of friendship, it's usually what's in it for me. Most friends listen to radio station WIIFM, what's in it for me. The friendship, oh, this person's my friend, well, what can I get out of it? What's in this friendship that benefits me? And we should turn that around and say, I want to be a friend of this person because I want to strengthen this person. I want to encourage this person. I want to help this person. I want to be a friend. I want to be a friend, not just have a friend. And so that's the world. They pretty much look at friendship. What are they getting out of it? But we see something different in the life of Jonathan. Jonathan's life was characterized by giving rather than receiving. His relationship with David was about giving rather than receiving. Jonathan gave strength to David at a time when he needed strength. Now, just to give you a little more background of the story, this time we're reading here and some chapters following, it's the story of Saul basically turned on David and was angry with him and literally eventually sought to kill him. On a couple occasions, he was in King Saul's court, David was. And King Saul literally threw a javelin at him, tried to kill him. And fortunately, he missed, and David ducked out and escaped. That happened a couple times, and so he was running from King Saul. He couldn't understand why. In fact, he asked Jonathan one time, I think it's in chapter 19 here, he said, "What have I done? What sin have I done that your father is angry with me?" And he couldn't understand why Saul was chasing him, why he wanted to kill him. But this was a time, this would be puzzling David. It would be a hurtful time, a needful time, a time when he really needed strengthening. And guess who strengthens him? His friend, Jonathan. And so it's a strengthening relationship. Friends strengthen each other. When one is weak, guess what? The other one holds the hands of the other one. That would be true in a friendship. That would be true in a marriage. Oftentimes, one of the spouses is weak. The other one needs to pick up the slack and provide strength. Sometimes it'll be the other way around. But in a friendship, when one is weak, the friend needs to lift the hands of the weak one. It brings to mind a story in Exodus 17, I think it is. There's a story about the land of Israel fighting enemies. And basically, God told the Israelites, look, as long as Moses has his hands up, there'll be victory. And so he held his hands up for really a long time, and they were winning the battle. But the Bible tells us that Moses began to, you can only hold your arms up so long. His arms began to get weak. So it says, Aaron and Hur came to his side, put a stone under him. He sat down on the stone, and Aaron and Hur, one on each side, held his arm up so that the battle could still be victorious. And so his friends came and strengthened him during a time of weakness. Turn in your Bible, you're there in Proverbs 18. Go back just a chapter to 17. Proverbs 17, verse 17, just the first part of the verse. The Bible says, a friend loveth what? At all times. See, a real friend will love you through thick and thin, through good times and bad times, when that friend is able to give to you, when he's not able to give to you. It's not about that. It's about you being a friend to them. And so a friend loveth at all times. I was thinking about out in California, they have these huge sequoia trees, basically redwood trees, massive trees. You could not reach around them. They're so huge. Well, they stand about 300 feet tall. Now, that's tall. 300 feet. I don't think we can fathom that. How tall is 300? Well, this roof's about 18 to 20 maybe right there. So just way up, 300 feet. That's a tall tree. But those trees, interesting thing about those trees, they don't have deep roots like you might think. You would imagine, well, the taller the tree, the deeper the root. Not true with a sequoia tree. Their root system goes out, and they draw moisture from the surface moisture of the ground. And so you'd be thinking, whoa, wow, some wind or something, that tree is going to just be ripped right out because the roots are spreading horizontally rather than going down. But that's not true. You know why? Here, think of this. You never see a redwood tree standing alone. They're always in clusters. Now that is an awesome truth. They're always in clusters. And so their roots that are surface, guess what? All those trees and clusters, all those roots are intertwining one with the other. And thus they get strength because they're all intertwined together. That's such a beautiful picture of friendship. If I try to stand in this world alone, I'm going to get blown over. And it's also a great picture, I thought of this, it's a great picture of the church. Here at the church, we our roots are intertwined, amen? We're sticking together. And if you leave church and you try to stand out in the world all by yourself, good luck. because the winds of evil, Satan will blow his huff and puff and blow your house down. And we need the church, we need friends, and that support that comes with that. Brother Don, just check the heat there. I see a lot of sleepy eyes out there, so I think it's getting to us. All right, maybe I need to wake up the preacher here. All right, let's move along. So that's a great illustration, isn't it? First of all, in strengthening friendship, Jonathan sought David physically. He sought David physically. Look in your Bible there. We need to turn now some pages over in 1 Samuel to chapter 23. Use your Bibles now because I don't have these verses on the wall. Chapter 23, verse 16. The Bible says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood, and what? Strengthened his hand in God." So Jonathan took the initiative. He went to David. He knew David was weak. He knew David needed help. So he went to him where he was, and he strengthened him in the Lord. While David was hiding from the relentless pursuit of a jealous king, Saul, he took the time and invested the effort to find him and go to him. And that tells us this: it is not always easy or convenient to go to people in need, but it is always right. It's always right. I think I told you this illustration before, but once I was in Bible college and I was driving on a highway and I was running late. I needed to get to wherever I was going, and I don't even remember. But I saw this lady just standing out next to her car, and this was back before they had these patrol vehicles that kind of watched out, you know, the State Farm vehicle that looks for people needing help. This was back before that kind of thing. And her tire was flat, and I saw it, and she's just standing there looking helplessly, and I just zoom went by. And the thought occurred to me, maybe I should help that lady out, but oh no, I'm going to be late. And boy, I just kept going, and I didn't get very far down the road, and the Holy Spirit would say, "Hey, knucklehead, go back there and help that lady. She needs help." Like, oh, I'm going to be late. So turn around. You know, I got off, come back, and I changed her tire, and she was very happy about that, and I went on my way. Gave her a tract and went on my way. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't convenient, and I was late. But you know what? I had a good feeling right in here because I helped somebody. And so it's not always easy, and it's not always convenient to go to people in need, but it is always right. Amen. It also tells us that we're all busy. I was busy that day. But we should never be too busy to help someone in need. Now, Jonathan was, I don't think I would be wrong in saying this, he was kind of like an officer in Saul's army. Jonathan had some pretty great feats of his own militarily. I was reading in other chapters here. So I'm sure he was a busy man. I'm sure he had things to do. I'm sure that it wasn't that convenient or easy for him to take time out of his busy schedule, but he did. He didn't find himself to be too busy to help someone in need. Jesus tells a story in the New Testament about a shepherd who loved a sheep that wandered away so much that he left the 99 in the wilderness, and he went and rescued and grabbed and took that one sheep that was lost and brought it back to the fold. And so sometimes it's not easy, sometimes it's not convenient, but it is always right. Amen. Secondly, not only did Jonathan seek out David physically, but he strengthened David spiritually. He strengthened David spiritually. And that's the same verse. Let's look at it again. We did read the whole thing, but let's, excuse me, just go back to it. It says, "Jonathan, Saul's son, went to David." So that's the seeking him out part. But then strengthened his hand in God. And so there was a spiritual help here that he brought to David. You know, it's good to feed people. And it's good to clothe people. And it's good to encourage people. But it is much more important to strengthen someone in the Lord. You know, we hear often these days about missionary projects overseas that are just there setting up medical clinics or drilling wells so you have clean water. And that's great. All that's great. But don't stop there. Drill the well, but tell them about the water that if they drink, they'll never thirst again. Also, right? Amen. And so yes, it's important to feed, clothe, encourage, those kind of things. But boy, to pray with someone, to strengthen them in the Lord during a time of need, that's really helpful. And I think Jonathan did just that. Well, let's move on. Clock's all, we're always fighting the clock. Not only was this relationship a strengthening friendship, but it was a giving friendship. I like this part. It was a giving friendship. Let's start by asking the question, how do you spell love? Is it L-O-V-E? No. Well, I guess literally it is, but practically it's G-I-V-E. G-I-V-E. And we know that because God so loved the world that he what? Gave. He gave. And giving is a real proof of love. And giving doesn't have to be your treasure, your money. It can be just be time. Time or treasure in giving. The world around us is becoming increasingly selfish and materialistic. We as Christians should seek to be the exact opposite. The exact opposite. Basically, we should seek to be like Jesus, be like God the Father, and be giving. And I have to tell you, that normally doesn't come natural. Maybe it does for some. I was thinking today about this, about being a giving person and perhaps how your background may play into that. And I was kind of thinking that through. But I'm not sure what the answer is, but it seems that some struggle with giving. I do. No, I don't mean giving to the Lord. I just mean being a generous, giving person. It doesn't come natural. I have to think about it. My wife has to prod me. And I work at it. But especially in friendships, we need to be giving. And this friendship was just such a friendship. It was a giving friendship. And we'll see what I mean by that. We're going to come to it. This next point right here. How do we know it was giving? Because Jonathan gave his possessions. He gave his possessions. And then also, it has been rightly said that it is not real until it is personal. He gave his possessions. Now, let's take a look at that. We read it already in our when we opened up the lesson with reading. Back in chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. 1 Samuel 18, verse 3. Ready? Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Now here it comes. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. I want you to see that Jonathan gave things of real value, things that he used and things that he cared about. No doubt this sent a message of love and sincere friendship to David. That's giving. Jonathan came to David in a time of need, time of trouble, and he strengthened him in the Lord. But not only that, he was giving in the relationship. It says that he took off his robe and gave it to David. He took off other garments, gave it to David. Even his girdle, the leather belt thing that held all of his garments together and up off the ground so he could run in battle, gave that to David. Even his sword. Now, as a warrior, that's valuable. That's your fighting instrument. Gave it willingly and freely. Gave it to David. Here's my sword. And those were things that were valuable to Jonathan as a warrior. Things that he cared about. Things that he used. But he gave it to David. And so it was a giving friendship, and he gave of his possessions. Just in passing, it makes me think about, we talk about this real until it's personal and so on. Love, real, friendship, etc. Makes me think of our God. I know that God is real and loving because he gave something of value. What was that? His only begotten Son. And I know Jesus' love for me and his friendship to me is real because he gave something very valuable, his own life. And so that's kind of a neat illustration there as well. Let's move on. Letter B. Not only did he give his possessions, but he gave his position. Interesting. His position. What do we mean by that? Well, let's take a look. It's 1 Samuel 23, verse 17. Chapter 23, verse 17. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul," this is Jonathan speaking, "for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee." Watch this. "And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth." What was he saying there? Well, basically this. "David, I know that I'm the eldest son of my father, firstborn. And I know that as things go, I should be the next king of Israel, because I'm the king's son. I should be the next king of Israel, but I know that God has something special for you, David. You're going to be the king of Israel, and I willingly and gladly step aside, but I'll be next to you. I'll be your right-hand man. I'll continue the friendship. I'll continue to strengthen you. I'll continue to give. I'll be there. But David, I want you to know I'm willing to give up my position for you." Isn't that a wow? Wow. Would the world do that today? Oh, no, not normally. Usually it's kick and scratch and see who you can step on to get to the top. Doesn't matter how they feel or what they think of it or what anybody thinks. Punch, gouge, kick, I'm going to the top. It doesn't matter who I have to step on to do it. I'm going to reach the top. Top, I mean, when I say top, I don't mean just success. I mean top in position. And that's the world for you. But Jonathan showed great friendship. He said, "David, I'm willing to even give you my position." So Jonathan, of course, was the heir to the throne of Israel. But he knew that David was God's man for that time. He graciously stepped aside from his own honorable position in order that God's will be accomplished and that God would be glorified. So get this statement. Here we are 3,000 years later. Wow, it's a long time. And we're still discussing and learning from a man who was not greedily grasping for his own promotion, but was rather attempting to promote his friend. I said 3,000 years. And we're still learning from this individual. Even though he's been dead all these years, he's still teaching us. Isn't that amazing? And so what a friendship, a giving friendship. Not only did Jonathan give his possessions, he gave his position. Thirdly, he gave his promise. Gave his promise. Look at chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 4. "Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. I promise, whatever you want, David, I will do it for you." It's interesting that Jonathan gave not only his in the present moment, but he promised to fulfill future needs. That's our next statement there. I'll put it up. So he indicated, you know what, whatever you need right now, but I'm going to be there in the future too. Whatever your soul desires, I will do it for you. Jonathan's desire to aid his friend had no boundaries. You kind of get that picture? Well, when he said, "whatever thy soul desires," whatever means whatever. Whatever you should need, David, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And he didn't say, "whatever you need up to a certain extent," or "whatever you need as long as, you know, whatever." He said, "whatever you need," no boundaries. In our own friendships, we must ask ourselves this question. Do we set limits and boundaries on how far we will go or how much we will do for our friends? Now, that's a challenge for us. Where do we draw lines and say, well, I can do this, but draw the line. I really don't want to go that far. Really don't want to give that much. Really don't want to help there. Or do we just say, you know, whatever you need, I'm here for you. And we don't set limits. We don't set boundaries. And so that was the kind of friendship that we're learning from Jonathan. That was the kind of friend he was to David. He strengthened David, and he gave to David. And then thirdly, he warned David. It was a warning friendship. He warned David in a positive way. And we'll see that here. A true friend will strengthen and a true friend will give, but a true friend will also warn. And a warning given in a timely manner can be a great help to a friend. David needed to know what King Saul's intentions were toward him, and Jonathan undertook great personal risk to communicate with David. So he brought that information. Again, David's trying to figure out what's your dad trying to do? Man, he's trying to kill me. I don't understand. And so Jonathan had information from his father, knew what he was trying to do, and he gave David certain warnings that would help him during that time of need. A real friend will be willing to stick his neck out. That's what I'm trying to say. Jonathan was loyal to David. You might have thought, well, he should be loyal to his father. I don't know. I don't know how all that plays out, but I just know that he's being a friend to his friend David. He's willing to stick his neck out, and he's communicating to him about what his father's trying to do, and hopefully this is going to help him. It's a warning. It's in the way of a warning to help him escape and not be harmed. So it was a timely warning. A timely warning. Look at chapter 20, verse 19. Chapter 20, verse 19, it says, whoops, I'm not there yet, I'm in the wrong chapter. 19, and when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come up to the place where thou didst hide thyself. This is Jonathan telling David this. When the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone easel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. In other words, I'll shoot 3 arrows as if I were shooting at a target. And he says to him, behold, I will send a lad, saying, go, find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. So if the arrows land in a certain spot, then you can come. In other words, the coast is clear. Verse 22, but if I say unto thee, to the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, then you need to go your way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. So if the arrows land over in this area, then the coast isn't clear. You need to keep skedaddling. And so this was his timely warning. And so Jonathan let David know what he needed to do at the exact moment he needed it. He told him when, he told him where, he told him the specifics of it. And that's exactly what David needed to know. It was down to the exact moment. It was a timely warning. Jonathan wanted to help. He wanted to encourage. He wanted to protect his friend. And Jonathan went to great effort to make sure his friend received the necessary warning in a timely fashion. Not only was it timely, it was trusted. I really like this one. It was a trusted warning. Now think of a story in Genesis chapter 19 when the angels came to Lot, Abraham's nephew, and he told him of the coming destruction of Sodom. And when Lot came to his son-in-laws and shared that news with him, basically they laughed at him. And he was like, no, I'm serious. I'm serious. And they're like, yeah, right, all right, yeah, sure. But why did they react that way? Because of Lot's own poor testimony. His hopeless testimony that he had created for himself. His reputation was horrible. And so they couldn't trust what he was saying. They didn't believe him. On the other hand, when David received Jonathan's warning here, this timely warning, he responded with complete trust and confidence because David was rescued because of this timely warning. But he trusted his friend Jonathan. And that teaches me this right here. My own testimony can greatly affect how people will receive my message. That's a really important lesson. If someone says, oh, Kelly Choma, oh yeah, I know him, he's a good guy. Can he be trusted? Yeah, you can trust him. Can I believe him? Yeah, you can believe him. I would like that to be said. Not, y'all, do you know Kelly Choma? Him? Don't listen to a word that guy says. He's wacky. Something wrong with that guy. He can't seem to tell the truth. You know people like that? I do. There's people that tell me things I just have to, I'm not sure. Take it with a grain of salt and just wonder if it's right or not. But you know, real friends, they need to be trusted. You need to have friend. You need to be a friend who people can trust. They can trust you in what you're telling them. And you can provide a timely warning if necessary, but also a trusted warning because of your own personal testimony is such that they can say with confidence, I believe what he's telling me because I know who he is and he's got a good reputation. He's trustworthy. And such was the case in this friendship here. He was a trusted confidant, you might say. Well, let's get to the conclusion here. We've got 2 minutes, so we did all right. Well, friendship is important. I'd hate to think if I had to go through life and just not have any friends. But again, it takes us back to, well, you want to have a friend? Be a friend. Be a friend and you'll never lack for a friend. Friendship is important. Friends have influence. We see that in our story here. Jonathan influenced. It's okay. You see that lightning fast reflexes? It's all those years of kung fu training. I mean, man, came in. Sure came in handy that time. Jonathan influenced David, did he not? He said, look, especially this last thing, I'm going to send you a warning, and here's how it's going to be. You go such place, such a time. I'm going to fire some arrows in the air like I'm shooting at a target. But if they're on this side, then everything's okay. But if they're on that side, you keep fleeing because it's not a good time to come. And so he influenced him. He sought to use his influence in a way that would encourage and strengthen David. Jonathan valued the heart and life of David more than his own personal comfort. That's a good friend. Now, wait a minute. I know what you're thinking. My friends don't do that. No. You got it all wrong. That's what I want you to do. You should value your friends more than your own personal comfort. That's the whole point of this lesson, is for you to be a good friend, not how a good friend should be treating you. And that takes us to this last couple of things. That really sums it up like this. Don't say, well, I wish I had a friend like that. You got it wrong. If that's what you're saying, you missed the whole lesson. Rather, you should say, read it. I want to be a friend like that. Amen? I want to be a friend like Jonathan. And strengthen, and give, and warn if necessary.